have been like hanging out with Mackenzie and she's been talking about you a
Oh
bunch and being like, I love
yeah.
Molly Soda. She was saying how she's like your son. If like, do you
Yeah,
know what I
kind
mean?
of. It's
Yeah.
kind of fucked up, actually.
I, Molly Soda, hereby request Josh Ovalle for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
How so?
No, it's just like we had, well, Mackenzie's like maybe a decade younger than me, and but I really feel like there's just a lot of similarity. Like I just feel like there's a deep understanding between the two of us. She's also like so sweet and is just like the fact that she met you guys at a party and then was like, you have to have Molly Soda on your
I
podcast.
know, that
Oh,
was really
she's yeah.
sweet.
It was so sweet. She was like, you guys have to have Molly Soda on. We were like, oh my God, we would love to. Like, that would be amazing. And then she was like, wait, hang on. Let me like message her and like
Yeah,
get it.
she's
And it
for
was
the
really
girls.
sweet.
She's for the
Yeah.
girls. Yeah,
No,
she was
she's a
like saying
sweetie.
how like Ivy's her son and she's your son, if that makes
Yeah.
sense. Yeah.
It makes complete sense to me.
But
Yeah.
you're in your like 30s?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I have been like seeing your work online for like a long time. I feel like we're in this place where we were like, there's nothing new online. And then we found you and we were like, oh my God, this is actually like making me angry because it's like like we looked at your website and we were like, this is actually like pissing me off because this is
Like,
like really
why?
cool.
No, because it was
It's
like the
really cool
coolest
and
thing
like
we've like ever seen in the world.
yeah. We were like, oh, there's a girl doing this. I'm gonna kill her.
Yeah.
You know? I'm curious if you could just like talk a little bit about like just your journey online, like what communities you grew up in, like when you started online and like your first memory of just like existing in online spaces.
I feel like everyone my age. Probably, if you were to ask most people my age, you'd probably say like Neopets or something. Like, but that was my first taste of like, I was like really into it, and it was like my first taste of like interacting with strangers online. Obviously, we were all like children and like doing things. Are you familiar with Neopets?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was like
Okay.
on Webkinz, so
Okay. So it's a similar,
yeah.
similar vibe. So I would say that was like my first like. Account where I was interacting and like community as much as you can have when you're like 12 on the internet, which I think looked very different when I was 12 and now is very different for like a 12-year-old in 2025. Like I don't even understand the landscape. But I would say the first time I started like posting as myself on the internet or like not as Molly because Molly is not my real name, but as like an posting my image on the internet was when I was like 14, so in 2003 maybe,
Oh yeah.
2004, and that was like on blogging platforms were very popular, so LiveJournal, Zanga, and so I was getting really into that was like kind of the space that I was inhabiting for a long time, and then later. Which is probably how most people might know who I am. I got into Tumblr, but that wasn't until 2009, so I was already in college, and that's how like Molly Soda came to be.
How do
Okay.
you feel like the state, like, can you describe like that early state of the internet that you kind of like were entering and like how it's changed since then? Like
I
just like the different
mean,
communities and stuff you've been in?
it's weird because like I feel like so much has changed and also like nothing has changed in this weird way. Like I think one thing that for me was like a lot of what was happening for me online at an early age was like it was very diaristic. Like you were really like talking about your day to day and generally speaking to like people your age. Like I wasn't speaking with adults, you know? And maybe if I was, they were like 20, they were like maybe like my boyfriend's brother's like girlfriend. Like it was still people that were like in my orbit. It didn't feel like now on the internet you're shot out into like the everyone. Like anyone can see you, especially on like a platform like TikTok or something like that. Like every age is present at the same time. You're using the same platforms. And so there was something like more diaristic and maybe like a little less, you know, virality wasn't a thing in the same way. People weren't making a living off of being themselves. Like you know, I think MySpace was the first place and that I probably joined MySpace in what, like end of high school, like 2006, around the same time as Facebook, maybe a little bit later. But like, there are all these platforms that you were juggling between, and also they were all, I'm staring at my desktop right now, but desktop based. So there was also this like remove, right? It wasn't like you weren't plugged in the whole time. But at the same time, I feel like the same things were kind of happening like interpersonally or like socially online. I think online was the first place that I learned how to like, how, I mean, I guess I learned, I remember, do you remember like the first time that you gained consciousness of like how to perform popularity or like social acceptance? Like I remember, and this happened offline first, but then a version of it, I'll explain in a sec, happened online. But I remember in third grade, someone was like making fun of me for wearing pants that were from like Target. Like they were like a Target brand, and they're like, oh, that's like not cool. Like this brand isn't cool. And that was like the first time that I started to like, my brain started to think about like, oh, there are things that are cool to do, and there are things that are like not cool to do. And I have to learn how to do certain things in order to fit in. And I feel like that we're like, oh, we learn that in school, but I think the internet like really heightened that because you were learning that from people that you wanted to be like. So maybe if you were, I was always like alt, like as a little tween. So like for me, I was never like really striving. I like got past this idea of striving to be like popular. I grew up in Indiana as well, so like popular, it has a certain look, like a certain style. And so I went to the internet and I was like, oh my God, there's all these like other alt people online and like I want to be like them. But there's still like aspirational content that you're consuming. Like you're never like accepted, right? And so I discovered on LiveJournal specifically, I discovered this, and I haven't met this many people that like know about this, but there were these communities, which are basically like groups that you could join. And usually they were around like, and then you would have like, it was almost like message board style, like you could all post on the same blog, called rating communities. Have you heard of these?
Maybe so. Wait, explain it.
So essentially a rating community is a community that was of people, but you have to apply to get in. And generally, it was like teenagers doing this. And it would, in like alt teens, kind of adjacent to like scene culture of the time. But like they sometimes had different flavors. Some were like harder to get into than others. And you would apply. And usually, what you would do is you would say like your name, age, location, list a couple bands. A lot of them were like interest subculturally, like interested in like
It's
music.
like name the right band to get into the group
Literally
type
name the
thing.
right
That's
band
so funny.
and then show and then submit pictures. And some were like the most brutal and like hardest to get into rating communities, like really kept the questionnaire short. They're like, submit three pictures. I'm like,
Oh my
will that be
God.
cool? And then everyone would comment and like vote yes or no. Like the members of the community would comment and vote yes or no. And then some would like give feedback or like say really cool things. And I remember finding these and I was like, wow, these people are so cool. Like I want to join. I was like 14 and I just learned how to like use a digital camera. It was like maybe 2 megapixels was my dad's. And I started like, taking pictures and submitting them. And I remember like I didn't know how to perform yet for like these aesthetics or the internet. I knew that I was interested in them. And I remember just getting like ripped apart. And it was the first time that I had like perceived as like things being like, obviously I grew up and like perceived looking different or like feeling self-conscious about my looks. I think most girls do, but like people being like, your eyebrows are too thick, or like, this is wrong, or like, this is wrong. And it was like the first kind of like brush up I had against that. And it was a very formative, I only like did them for like a year or two, but it was like a very formative moment for me online. And like, no one really remembers that. Maybe some like people my age that were like in that world, but I don't know that many people.
Well, I feel like
That's crazy.
what you're saying about like that moment of coming into like consciousness about like just like social stuff like that is super interesting, 'cause it was like making me then think about when that was for me. And like, I feel like the internet completely, like, I might have learned that through the internet. I mean, I feel like it's something that was there because I was bullied as a kid. So like, I feel like that puts it there really early on. But like, I remember just like through Stan Twitter, like understanding this thing that was eventually going to translate to real life that like now has in this way of like what you stand as on the internet, which is really interesting. But I was also curious about what you said because you were kind of describing that you've always been like all like, what do you think made you that way? Like, do you think it was just feeling out? Like, what do you think made you like, do you think it was just feeling outside of the people you were around, like in person?
Or were there like people online that you like watched that like shaped that in you, do you think?
I think it was like a intent, like a couple things. Like I grew up in a college town that sort of has like an alt flavor. I mean, it's like can be really fratty and bro-y, but then
Yeah.
also had like an alt flavor to it, like sort of like anarchist bookstore vibes, like that kind of thing. So it was like easier to access certain things. Also, like my family's from Puerto Rico. I was born there, and so I think there was also like some interesting cultural things happening. My parents are like very pro-independence Puerto Ricans, so they were like very like critical of the U.S. in a way that I found a little bit annoying growing up. Like 4th of July, they'd like put the flag up, Puerto Rican flag up, and I'd be like, oh my god,
Yeah.
embarrassing. And so but I'm so like lucky that I grew up that way now. Like having parents that were really like when 9/11 happened, and like having parents really like critical of the US government at that time was like very formative for me. So there's all
Yeah.
this sort of stuff happening like politically for me, but I think also just like friends that I met, but and then just being super online and like being curious and like finding
Yeah.
music that maybe was exciting to me in a way. Like I can't even remember like the way that like music discovery worked was so different, and it was so, and your personality was so tied to it. Like everything just felt, it's interesting to see how, I don't even care about this at all, but like the word poser was like such a big thing when I was growing up. Like you wanted to be like so, and I think we still grapple with that now. We just like find different ways of framing that. We say like, I don't even know if like what the word for poser is anymore, but like I feel like it's tied into all of
But
these
like
things.
maybe it's like normie or
Ignore
something.
me, or
I feel like that was
yeah.
it for me in high school.
But I think the internet really allows people to play with aesthetics without having to like embody the sort of subculture necessarily. Like for me, it happened too. Like I was definitely like way into like indie music or like a little bit twee or whatever in high school. But like I was obsessed with like seeing girls, and I kind of
Yeah.
wanted to look like them. But I was like, but I can't. But like, no, we're not gonna do that. But I could like still sort of play at that a little bit through my online presence if I wanted to. I don't think that fully got embodied until like, and I was an adult and sort of like reacting against certain aesthetics. Because also we're always reacting against the thing that we last were. So it's like I'm really interested in those cycles and like that push and pull.
Yeah, no, I was just interested because like it sounded more like in a time when there was less like I don't know, where the internet was like a lot different and it's more like, oh, you're going to it with this idea. Like it sounded like you kind of already had that like idea of what you were looking for before, which is I think something a lot of people find on the internet and they're like, oh, I'm alt because I found the internet type thing.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, I think I had some of that grounding like already like happening, and then the internet was sort of like expanding that. So maybe like in a rating community, I would have been like, what's this band that this person listed? And like, let me go figure it out. But the thing was that it was hard to listen to music online in the same way. So like, I was just talking to someone about this, but I would like go to a record store and I would just buy the CD. I'd be like, I've heard of Cat Power. Don't know what it sounds like. Let me buy the CD and like figure it out.
No, the like rating communities, that's like so crazy. And like that, like, yeah, like I feel like changes your brain chemistry in an insane way. And I feel like that is something that I was like also operating under, but like in a, like, I feel like it was just kind of implied in everything, like being online at a young age where I like got online and I was like, okay, there's like a very clear hierarchy online, which is interesting because it feels like everyone's
on the surface against having a hierarchy or against like having this like rating system or whatever, because we're like all supposed to be like we're all outcasts, you know, we're all coming to this thing to like find relief, but then like there is a very clear hierarchy in place of that. You know, you said you started going like by Molly Soda when you got onto Tumblr, right? So I'm curious like what that like looked like and like why or like how you sort of adopted like that persona.
Yeah, I think if anything, it was. I really like think about the way that I think about Molly Soda. It like changes like every 5 years. Like some days I'm like it was because of this, and other days I'm like I think my mind is changing right now about it. But at the time, I was in school. I was like already sort of like interested in. I was in art school. I was in. Doing photography, but really, like by the time that I started Molly Soda, I was really interested in like performance and video and net art. I just learned about like a lot of internet art, like early internet art, and so I was already sort of experimenting with that, sort of separately, and I was already so used to being online. Like I was, people knew me from like every once in a while, someone will come up to me, and this is like rare, and I was not popular by any means. Like someone will be like, I know you from LiveJournal, or like I've been following you since LiveJournal, which is like fuck.
Whoa.
Or people are like, I knew
That's
you from
so interesting.
LiveJournal. Yeah. So I was already sort of like really used to creating an account on like the next thing. Like it was easy. Like it was that was like it wasn't like an art project, if that makes sense. Like I was like, oh, my friends had to get this, I'm gonna get it. And then I kind of got addicted to it. And when I was choosing my username, I was thinking about it sort of like an artist name, but I wasn't like super cognizant of that, I think. Like I was interested in like using a name that sounded like my name, but I was like really inspired by like Scene Queens and like sort of the MySpace era stuff, like conceptually. And I was also really interested in like at the time like downtown 80s New York, so I was like really obsessed with Lydia Lunch, and I like looked, and I remember like when I started the account, I was like, I want to be Lydia Lunch famous. Like I want to be famous in a way that like if you know, but like if you don't, it's like I don't want to be so famous. Because internet fame like wasn't a thing at the same time, so it was sort of like I was like, I
Yeah, it's
want
interesting you were
500
thinking about
followers.
it like that before it was happening too.
I know. And it was like, because I never really, it really like happened outside of me. But I think I always had the tools to understand how to like be a person online and like have an audience, I guess. Like I wasn't starting from nowhere.
With like experimenting with Tumblr and YouTube, I'm also curious if you could kind of describe just like the landscape that like or like the era that was going on at the time, just like to give people context. But I'm curious how you've seen like those eras change like generations now and like how you see the impact of like what was going on then play out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like 2009 internet was like a kind of a weird like transitional time. Like Tumblr really changed the game in a lot of ways because I think that it raised like a whole generation of internet users. Sorry, am I cutting out?
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit, yeah.
Sorry about that.
You're
You're
good.
good.
Whoa, that camera switch is so funny.
It is better quality, but I like lo
I
a
like the vibe of the other
I
one.
love a
low quality webcam. That I had a feeling that might happen, but I was like hopeful.
But you were talking about like the like 2009 is like when you cut out like about like Tumblr and stuff like that and just like explaining the era.
Well, I feel like Tumblr came at a really pivotal point because I think at the time what had reigned, well, like remember, like this was like when Facebook was at its height, probably around the time that Facebook was at its height, because they had opened it up to everyone. Or if you had a like if you were I remember when they opened it up to like high schoolers, like 2006, I want to say. So Facebook is like at its height, probably around this time. The migration from MySpace to Facebook is starting to happen, which is sort of like this weird, almost like online gentrification process that's happening. Like we're seeing the decline of like customization. MySpace is starting to get flooded with ads. Facebook feels like more professional, more clean. We're starting to use our real names. We're sort of in this transitional phase, right? And then Tumblr comes at this time where like we've done all this stuff with blogging, right? Like LiveJournal's been around for a really long time. I think LiveJournal has been around since the 90s. And it was also like a really formative place for like cam girls to chat and like blog and talk. So like that was sort of like this established space. And then there's some other blogging platforms, Blogspot, Zanga, like things like that. So there were kind of like these methods happening, but the thing that was so exciting about Tumblr was that you could kind of like play with your identity a little bit. It was the last place that you could really customize. Like I still stand by that. I don't really feel like there's any other platforms left that you can truly like design in that way without making like a website or something. And also like the reblog feature was huge because you weren't only posting your own content and you could just post images if you wanted to. So like tons of people ran super popular Tumblr accounts and we didn't know who they were, right? We didn't know who was running them, what they looked like, but we had an idea of them based off of images, right? So it was like a very like, I understand like Pinterest was a thing and maybe was happening around the same time, maybe a little bit later. But you were really curating like a vibe and it didn't have to do so much with your personal life in the same way that maybe like a blogging platform or Facebook or some of these other things felt very like attached to like me and who I am. And Tumblr felt more kind of expansive. And also the fact that like anyone, there was like sort of this like feeling of like exponential growth because anything could get reblogged and end up like any, like the life cycle of a post felt like a game of chance in the way that it just really didn't anywhere else.
You were obviously just like someone who was like very early on into like using the internet as this art form, and it's really cool to see like your like archive of things and like how it's grown, but how it also has like a lot of it, at least from like the surface level of what like I saw and like doing research, a lot of it has like stayed the same, and that I feel like you kind of like went into it like, yeah, like knowing like this like aesthetic and this like brand and everything before that even was like a thing. Like even just like talking about like, oh, like wanting to be like internet famous, like before that was even a thing, which is really interesting. Curious if you like feel like, or just like how like you feel like all your like stuff has evolved. 'Cause I like specifically with like your YouTube channel, I was like looking at it and stuff, and I know you've been posting on there for like over a decade. But like pretty much like all the videos are like this like old like webcam style of like, oh, like what's in my bag, or like room makeovers, or like cutting my bangs at 3 a.m. like those kinds of videos, which I feel like are just very specific to like that like old internet style. And yeah, I'm curious like what like drew you to making those kinds of videos, and like also like just like the evolution of that channel in general.
Yeah, I mean, for my YouTube, it was really a place for dumping shit. So, like, when I was in undergrad, I was just really playing with taking a lot of video and like posting a lot of stuff. I think the reason I like YouTube so much is because anyone can stumble across it. So, like, the intention is always like a little bit, people don't always like understand what's happening, or like it's like more open in a way that other platforms are not, because it's like this giant search engine. And obviously it's changed a lot like since I started posting regularly in 2010, but I've always sort of been interested in the language of YouTube and what's been happening on YouTube. I feel like YouTube is in a weird place right now, so like I'm not as interested in like the YouTube culture, but back in like the, okay, let me back up. I've always used the webcam and I really like just like shit posting with my webcam. I have probably like thousands of webcam videos, maybe like 1,000. Let's not get like too crazy, a little more, that I've amassed over time. And like none of them are particularly like special or important necessarily, but like I think of them as this mass and this thing that I just keep adding to. And for me, it's just like a way that I like to post. And every once in a while, a more fleshed out work will like make it into the YouTube archive. Like I just posted my 500th video this week, actually, which was
Oh, whoa,
that's crazy.
And it was just like a throwaway video, but I think for me, I'm really interested in like the way that like sort of the culture of the internet and like how it changes over time. And so I'm interested in like documenting that to a degree and like really mundane things. And I also really like using the tools that like most consumers use. So like a webcam, obviously the webcam has evolved and changed like a little bit. Like you can tell that my new MacBook is has a nicer cam than the iMac from 2014 that I still use because I like how that looks better. And that's just personal preference. Like I'm not going to come out here with like a VHS camera because that doesn't like really work with what I when I was making the work. And also like it's just not the right. I'm interested in sort of like these tech aesthetic, like these lo-fi tech aesthetics. But also like if whatever the YouTubers are shooting on is like a Sony ZV-1, like I'm gonna buy that same camera because I'm interested in like entering the sea of content and sort of like trying to blend in, if that makes sense. So I'm trying, not necessarily trying to go undetected, but I like sort of the illegibility to some of the stuff or feeling like you might watch like a video of someone cleaning their room and then end up on mine and then be like, wait, why is she like making her room messy for like the aesthetic? What? Like there's something sort of like, I think there's something a little bit uncanny about all of my videos where like, and maybe the seed started in my brain when I like failed to perform for the rating communities where I was every video, like I'm striving, but like failing and it's like kind of visible. And maybe that's why you watch it and you're like, oh, I just want to help her, but like I can't. No,
I like that being like a thesis of your videos, 'cause I like they feel definitely like I was so interested in it when I found it, 'cause I was like, oh, somebody's finally like almost like commenting in this way on like what's going on YouTube, but like just by doing nothing, just by like adding to it, and like what you said of just like blending in, because they feel very abstract, and like you can definitely tell like it's emanating that sort of energy, which I think is so interesting in an artistic sort of sense, because like I grew up on those videos, like watching like people do that normally, and it'd be super normal to go on your webcam and talk to your camera, and it like I don't know, I like how observational your videos feel.
No, I get like the uncanniness. Like that's like a good way of putting it. Do you like look back on like stuff that you've posted like in the past? Like what do you feel like has changed in terms of like what you post? If like do you feel like your intention has like changed?
Yes, because I think I've gotten older. I've like figured out my art practice a bit better, like what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to do. That doesn't stop me from, I feel like YouTube is kind of the only place where I still feel really free to post whatever. So I do post a lot of like, I still take webcam videos and post them, but that just feels like an outlet for me at this point because everything else is like so professionalized nowadays. And I think also like, you know, when I first started my Tumblr account, I knew that I wanted to be an artist. I knew that I didn't want to be an I think that there was a path that I could have taken at the time, maybe at my like height on Tumblr and like a few years down the line to like becoming an influencer. Like there was definitely like a point in like 2012 where I was like getting a lot of attention. People were like sending me clothing and like lipstick and like stuff, and I wasn't really getting paid yet. I think I've only done like one sponsored post ever, and that was maybe like 2016 or 2017. And but for me, I didn't want that. Like I was like interested in the, and I think that another part of my work is sort of like grappling with the idea that like I had, which now in the way that the internet has changed feels like nothing. I had a lot of visibility and there were like these paths that I could have taken, but I think for me I always wanted to be an artist and I was interested in like what that sort of met, or like what the performance of someone that even gets to the point of like being an influencer, like what that is, right? And
Well,
so I was
it's
with
so weird that you were doing that naturally, and then they just, and it like that path opened up to you naturally by like almost commenting in this observational way on like what other people were doing in that sense to like get there.
Yeah, and I think for me, it just came very naturally because I was so like, I think that a lot of artists will sometimes, not to talk shit, but like, I think that I'll see people trying to sort of mimic or emulate online stuff, but they won't implicate themselves in it. They won't like go in the shit. And I'm like, no, like, if you want to make a makeup tutorial, like, as part of like your practice or like something like that, like you need to spend years making makeup tutorials and like figuring it out, like the nuances, right, of all of this. Like I can see stuff on the internet now and be like, I need to wrap my head around it, like I need to comment on it, but it isn't until you're like participating in it that you can really truly like figure out what's going on. Like when I watch a video, I want to mimic it, I need to download it, break it down, and figure out exactly like when they're cutting, like how the editing is working. There's languages that we, some of us are better at online than others, but you have to learn them and you have to sort of participate in them. So even when I first got obsessed with kind of like my entryway to like YouTube culture was like the beauty world, like the beauty community. That was like 2013. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I was like, these girls are just like in their rooms, they're like sharing their makeup. Like, I'm getting really like a like kind of attached to some of these people. Like, what's going on here? And I really wanted to make work about it, but I didn't understand how to. Like, I was like, okay, well, I'm an artist. So, like, I got to put on a wig and like make fun of these people. And I was like, oh, but I love them and I'm them too. And so it didn't take, and I don't know if I've ever really successfully been able to make work about it, actually. But like, I guess for me is like, I want to be inside of the spaces that I'm talking about or thinking about. Like, I want to implicate myself. I want to put myself out on the line. That's very important to me. So even like being interested in the influencer stuff before that was really a thing, I think there was a part of me that sort of like understood that. And also like I guess I've never been afraid of time, if that makes sense. Like I've always felt like things will age interestingly. And so I've always been really like open to maybe if something like people don't understand it at the time, or maybe if it like seems cringy now or whatever, like just give it some time and like let it breathe and like come back to it later.
Like now, like having like your art being featured in like so many like galleries and museums just like all over the world, which is like really cool and insane. I'm curious like what that feels like. Just like in general, like watching internet art evolve into something that's like taken that is like this like serious big thing now, you know, when like as someone who literally just like got online and just started posting like very early on in a time where like everyone was just posting to like have fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to sort of like see how that world has shifted as well, because I felt like actually the time that internet art was like starting to get taken a little more seriously institutionally was like the group of artists that were like a little bit older than me. And so I always like am jealous of like the artists that were doing stuff in like the early 2000s, because I'm like, that's when like the shit was like really like, that's when a lot of my favorite stuff was getting made, or like that's when shit was really like getting people were getting shows and whatever. And I think like, but the art world is like very fickle, and I think this stuff goes through waves. And so for me, like, it's been interesting to see how that has shifted. And also like, you know, I knew that I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't really understand what that meant in terms of how to support myself. And I think this is like a longer conversation to have like later, but you know, I couldn't conceive that I could be in the type of artist that I am now, if that makes sense, because I didn't know, like I don't really like sell my work that much, but like I didn't even conceive that you could sell a video piece, for example. Until someone told me that you could. And then I was like, okay, well, how do you price that? And then I had to kind of start learning all of these things. And even then, it's not like a perfect system, and it's very, it's nothing's guaranteed. I mean, it's not unlike being a fucking influencer, honestly. But like,
I'm curious with like then watching that happen and kind of like seeing as internet stuff got taken seriously in that way, like in a similar way to influencing like the internet very deeply. Like, do you feel like you still see new things happening often, and like how do you continue to explore in a way that feels new?
I think I'm very lucky in that. Well, I hit ruts all the time. I feel like I'm sort of in one right now. Like I just finished a piece that I'm want to show, but I need to be like good about it and like not dump it online. So I'm like hold some restraint. I think it's right now we're in a space where I think that we're all. Back in the day, it was sort of novel to make certain things, or like you were sort of like covering new ground, I guess. Like when, and I was not the first girly to like post webcam videos and like call it art. Like there are plenty of girls before me who were doing that, who are huge influences on me. It's not like I didn't know about them, but well, I didn't know about all of them, but there were plenty that were really influential to me. So like what I was doing was not necessarily new. But I think that the sort of like novelness has obviously worn off. Like we're all sort of implicated. We all use it. It's not a place that you go. It's not an alternative place that you go as a teen, that's for sure. And it's not a place that you go at all. You're just always kind of there. And so I think we're all really, really fatigued by it, and we're all really tired of it. And I think no one wants to make art that is about it because it sucks and it's annoying and like we don't want to think about it and we see it every day. And to me, it's like it's still important to work with this material because I want to document things that are happening. We also live in an era of everyone has an opinion about everything, which is fine. But what I mean is like, we're all like, you guys can probably like speak to this, but like, when did every, and we're kind of like past this now, but like, there was a sudden shift where everyone went from like vlogging to being a video essayist. And I was like, doing that. Like, did we all go to college and like read one fucking theory book and like now we're like trying to like do essays on like you know whatever like video essays on like whatever like the near newest trend for women is or like it's broader than that but like there's a where I was like oh I see what's happening here everyone's like self-conscious about looking dumb and so now we have to like have a fully th formed thought about everything that's happening. And I think like that matched with like all the fatigue, it like makes it hard to like want to make critical work about the internet because you're like, and also like the speed at which the internet moves is like by the time you're like grappling with like one sort of like thing, we've moved on. And so for me, it's to not get caught up in that and like to really like slow down. And if something is going to be interesting, it's going to be interesting despite it like not being trendy or whatever. Like, I don't know. I just have to like, I don't have to like comment on every single trend. And like, I think it's also so cycle based. Like, for example, the sort of resurgence of what's in my bag content, like, those are some of the earliest things that we shared online on the social. Like, Flickr photos from 2004 of bag content. So it's like, and then for a long time that like no one was interested in that. Like when I was on Tumblr, no one gave a fuck about like what any was in anyone's bag. We weren't sharing that. And it's like this stuff just like cycles in and out. So I think it's just about kind of like being aware of that, of these like life cycles and things. But
I
I
think it's
think
so weird how
that
people have like become obsessed with items again. Like, I feel like that's something that's really, really happening right now. And also, like, what you were saying about everyone getting to a point of like looking at themselves and being aware and being like, we can't seem stupid, like feels like something that's really translated to real life too. Like maybe it's more of like a thing because I think that like New York is just closer to like culture. So I think it feels way more like that here when I'm talking to people. And it's like a weird thing to translate to just like how to then socialize and how to like be a person in that. And I'm curious if you think about that a lot or if you feel like you found like a happy medium at all.
Well, I think we're all so subconscious about looking dumb. And I do think that in New York, that like can be heightened where people maybe like aren't as friendly sometimes socially, or like there can be a little bit of it's different. It's just like
Yeah.
Everyone
Everyone
like
like
thinks all the time.
what?
Everyone's thinking all the time of
Yeah.
things.
But I do think like seeing like uploading yourself and seeing yourself and being able to tweak yourself and constantly seeing an old version of yourself and then being disgusted by it and then wanting to like delete it and all of that, like it leads for a very self-conscious life, you know? I think like that's not like conducive to like a funky free like headspace. Like it just, and even for me, I've gone through moments where I'm very, you know, I you it's like you learn how to perform, and so this is like the way that people are performing now. So like I don't know, there's a lot of paranoia, right? And I think it's hard to be the same kind of free that you were when you were younger and like posting. And I don't think that, I don't know that you can like go back to that. I think that's why I maintain like my YouTube account the way that I do, is because like that's a place where I know it just like I don't care in the same way. But I don't know that like there's any going back, which feels sad to say. You just find other outlets, I would hope. Like for me, what I also have to, like, as I've gotten older, I've come to terms with like why I wanted to post the way that I did online in the first place. And like that's a lot of like stuff that you figure out in therapy. And you know, you figure out the contours of like what it is that you were looking for, right? And I think, you know, they're all basic kind of human needs. Like we want to be seen, we want to be loved, we want to be heard, we want to be recognized, whatever. And I think I needed certain things socially from the internet that I don't need in the same way anymore. Because I'm older, I've found other ways of getting that. My relationships are maybe healthier. You know, I'm not like, you know, it, you can see how like my, even now people will be like, Molly, your work is so vulnerable. And I'm like, it's really not at all. Like, what do you know about me? If I was like saying a bunch of shit on Tumblr in 2012, that's because I was in my early 20s and I was like, it was natural for me to talk that way. But I think now what gets mistaken as vulnerability is like, it's very interesting. I think what, when people tell me that my work is vulnerable, I'm like, oh no, I think it just doesn't fit what other people are doing. And that's like, you're seeing like miniature failures in the work, and that's why you read it as vulnerable.
Yeah,
You
that's really
talked
interesting. About like going back, or that we like you feel like we're not gonna like go back to a point where things are like not super self-aware. And I'm curious where you think we're headed. Like, do you think it's getting worse? And like, what do you think, like, just like also a post like TikTok era looks like? 'Cause I feel like that's what we're in right now of like that being sort of like, even though like we're not really in it, it's kind of like just like feeding itself at this point. I'm just like curious, like, with each generation, like, do you think we're gonna keep moving more and more online? And like, then in turn, like, how are we going to get more self-aware than self-aware? You know what I mean?
No, I know. And I think actually TikTok is a way out in a weird way. And I
Interesting.
don't know if this is my age. I don't know if TikTok makes y'all mentally ill or not. It doesn't like affect me. I don't know why. I see TikTok as like pure entertainment. And when I post on there, like it's just like for fun. And maybe people will see it, but like it doesn't, usually I don't post anything You know, the one thing I will say about TikTok and like newer internet is that I think the idea is for everything to go viral. And so, like, that's the objective, right? It's like, oh, I want to go viral. I want this to get shown to as many people as possible, and it doesn't matter who. And I think there are problems with that. But TikTok feels way less linked to like you, like the problem with Instagram and like all these other platforms that I think people have is that they've collected all these people throughout their life. You know, your family members, people you've dated, people you've been friends with, someone you met at a party 6 years ago, and they're all following you and you're performing the same for all of them, which is not normal. I would normally treat all these different people differently in my life. And like I would still be me, but I would be performing slight, I would adjust my performance of myself based on my relationship to them. We do it every day and in real life. And so, but on a platform like Instagram, or something where you're like interfacing with people you know, or you think that you know because you've been tethered to them through this weird account for a decade, you're thinking about all of them sort of subconsciously. And I think it leads to this like not wanting to do anything at all because you're like, well, I don't want this person to pay attention. It's like I almost feel safer not knowing, like putting the message in a bottle. And no, like TikTok feels like putting a message in a bottle. YouTube feels like that for me. I'm not a YouTuber, so it's like a little bit different. I don't have like fans in that way. It feels like an experiment. It feels like I don't know what could happen. Who cares? Like whatever. Like it's freeing. Posting on like a platform like Instagram doesn't feel freeing. It feels like neurotic and paranoid and like fucked up. And so I think that's something we're actually hopefully moving away from. It's like sort of that parasociality that we perform for like our closest friends and like random people we've met a couple times.
Well, I also see like the positive in what you're saying of like posting something and it also be like hard to reach or hard to like it like get it can get lost. And that's like maybe a positive thing because it's like you like someone can know something on TikTok that like you're gonna have no idea about. And I can see like as you're speaking why that's actually beneficial because it's just making us less crazy.
Yeah, I think it's like we're not meant to be like thinking about it's like being at a high pressure like art opening every night, like time you post. And so like the thing that you're saying about like being in New York and like socializing here is like, yeah, I think that's like really heightened on a platform like Instagram almost.
Like I feel like in social interactions, I've even felt that of like it feels like you're at a high pressure gallery every time you meet someone,
But
which
it's
is
really not.
so interesting.
Actually, like this is all fake and it's a game. And if you
It's
know that way, you're just like, fuck it, who cares? That's why, like, that's what keeps me sane is just being like, actually, nothing matters and everyone's just thinking about themselves and it doesn't fucking matter.
I also think I'm in a stage of life where I'm just more anxious, and I think that's also part of it. Like both of us kind of have been having that recently. I think it's just
I
like
think it's
a,
moving to New York a little
I think
bit.
maybe it's that, but
Or
maybe
just
it's
like
also
moving
just
in general,
like,
but yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I think that like being a 24-year-old girl, it's like coming back in a wave, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
I'm like experiencing again like what I experienced when I was like 14, but like now it's like coming back in a
But now it's
second.
adult.
Yeah, now it's like 24. So it's like that, but then it's like also like having to be an adult on top of that. I did also like want to ask about the play that you put on with Maya Mann
Yep,
Mackenzie.
Mackenzie was talking about it so much. She was like, you have to ask Molly about the play.
I remember like when we saw it like online and we were like, this looks so cool. Like this is like the coolest thing. This is like the cool girl play convention.
This is the cool girl play convention.
Literally. But yeah, I'm curious, like, can you just like talk a little bit about putting that together and like the inspiration for that and where that came from and what that looked like?
The play is called Trivial Pursuit, and it is the first time I've written and directed a live performance, like, and also the first time I've done something with performers. Normally, I'm usually in all of my work. Weirdly, my thesis was also like sort of narrative, like my senior thesis in college was sort of narrative. I did this project called Tween Dreams where I like played every character, but it was supposed to be like this weird like web series,
Whoa.
meant to look like it was filmed by tweens, but that's like for another
Wait,
day.
what did you study in college also? I think.
Photography. And so it was the first time that I'd really like been working on like live performance with performers, and I was very fortunate that Maya Mann, Maya Martinez, and Mackenzie Thomas, like all M's, this like the M play, Molly, Maya,
Yeah.
that they were all
Bless
like
you.
down.
Thanks.
They were all friends of mine already, and they were all really down to do it. And the play itself is sort of structured in this way where three girls have gotten together for a vision boarding party. Have you guys ever made a vision board before?
Of course,
Yeah, of
yeah.
course,
Of
yes.
course.
Okay, I don't think I've ever actually made one, but
Really, I've made like a couple, but the one we were just talking about this with Alex Kazemi because we had him on the podcast. And I was saying how like the one vision board I made was like I made it like the year that Brittany and I met, and I feel like that was like the year that like so much happened and like everything changed. And I like love vision boards.
Oh, maybe I should actually make one then.
You
Yeah.
should.
It's like a low-key manifestation thing.
Okay. Well, I've been thinking about vision boards a lot because I've been sort of like back to thinking about photography again, like in the last couple years. For a while, I've primarily considered myself like video and performance artist, but like photography is like my background. And so, I was thinking about vision boards kind of just like as the idea of like a grouping. I was just like thinking about like ways that vision boards could manifest in the world, and also like of groupings of images, and thinking about like our obsession with saving images, and like this probably comes from my Tumblr background as well, but like and also just like the proliferation of images online and how we're sort of all suffering from beautiful image fatigue, which is why there's been like actually a really big resurgence, or not even resurgence, I think like a big push towards like the watermark as like an aesthetic device, and like lo-fi kind of crunchy pixelated artifacts, artifacted images, especially amongst like Gen Z, that I've noticed a lot. And so I've been thinking a lot about that, and sort of just like what it feels like to have all these files like physically embodied. And this also comes from a place of like I have certain tools at my disposal. So like I have printers, I print a lot of stuff out. So that was like my thought process about the sort of textural quality of the play. But I essentially they've gotten together for a vision boarding party, but they're making one vision board together on the wall behind them. And so the play like has these actions where essentially it starts with them sitting on the floor, and there's like hundreds of images printed out on like printer paper, like on the floor. And on the back of each image is text, and all the text is like pulled from different sources. So like blog posts I made when I was a teenager, old defunct forums, Tumblr posts from random people that I follow. Like it's like all over the place, like all sorts of things, YouTube transcriptions, like whatever. And so, but it's all this stuff that's sort of like about manifesting or about desire. And the sort of cadence of the play is that they're kind of like obsessed with wanting to want, if that makes sense. So it's like not about ever like getting the thing, it's about like being addicted to wanting the thing, which I think is like something that we all do. I think on the internet, like desire and aspiration, and like what is aspirational, what is desirable, what is aesthetically pleasing is always a moving target, and it's always shifting. And so like even if I were the play was put on in like September of 2024 at Pageant in Brooklyn, and even if I were to like go back and look at those images now, I'd be like, these are outdated. And I was like I'm trying to pull from like a lot of sources. So like spammy shit, like really aesthetically pleasing shit, really lo-fi shit, stuff from Flickr, stuff from my own personal archive, whatever. But just like there's something to do with like this mass. And so there's like as the play is going on, they're reading the backs, and like depending on what they pick up is the order of what they're saying. So no two performances are the same. But there is sort of like a narrative that underpins the entire thing. And eventually, like, they turn against each other and they vote one of the girls out, and the audience is sort of like pulled into it and like has to vote. And so it's, yeah.
I'm so sad that I missed
I
you putting this
know.
on. Like, 'cause also, yeah, everything I was reading about it sounds so interesting. Like, I love that as a concept. I like just like the girl like group dynamic kind of coming in. And I'm curious also because you wrote on Substack about it that most of your work is done online, so it's rare for you to get to see something take physical form. So what did it feel like to bring the piece to life and like watch a re like our audience react in real time?
It was really rewarding, I think. I think for me, it was scary because you're whenever I post something online, like, yeah, you might be worried if like it doesn't get enough engagement or whatever, but like for me, I guess I post so much that it doesn't really matter, but you're sort of like you don't need you like let it go, and then you're kind of like it's there, and if people want to interact with it, they can, but you don't like get the metrics of like how successful it is necessarily, I guess, by views. But with a play, like you're there for like X amount of time, you're literally watching the audience react in real time. They clap for you at the end, which is amazing, and then they go home and they might think they liked it. And so for me, I think it was really like a satisfying way to work, but there's no real like document of
Like the reaction, actually.
or just like of the play. Like I have a recording, but like that's not the play. Like I don't want you to see it because that's not like what I want you to experience. And ever since then, I've been hoping to show it again, although I think enough time has passed that I would probably tweak it a bit. Like I would probably change the narrative slightly or maybe lengthen it or
You
whatever. But
totally should do it again. I want to see
yeah,
it.
I want
But
to see
there's
it so
so many
bad.
barriers to entry. Like with
Yeah.
the girl on your computer, you can do, you got a lot of power.
Yeah.
But if you're a girl trying to put together a play, you're like, well, I need a place to do it. I need like, you know, I need, and my play I wrote in such a way that it, literally all you need is a white wall and some painter's tape and some pieces of paper. So like, it's pretty lo-fi, but even then, you know, you it's still it's hard when you're dealing with physical space and when you're dealing with wanting a, you know, we all everyone did this for free. Like we spent all last summer rehearsing this like multiple times a week. I like owe them so much, and you know, we ended up just like splitting ticket sales. But like if I do it again, I want to do it right. But I think with art, it's when you're an artist, you have to figure out, you have to be really scrappy. And it's like sometimes you're like, wow, what could I do with these if I had like unlimited resources?
Like the vision board for a girl is so interesting. And I love that like that got to translate to a play. I would love to see it eventually if you ever put it on again. But I'm also curious about that on a larger scale because I feel like you do this with other work online of just like investigating like the girl online dynamic a bit. Even just like in YouTube videos of like this is me doing my makeup at 3 a.m. like type thing. Like that feels very present. And in like looking into the girl online like and like how you've noticed like if there's anything specific that you found that like doesn't feel like obvious to the public about just like how we express and form community and like what it means in terms of women's development, especially like fan culture too, because I know you've kind of like researched that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think for, well, I think I've always been interested, maybe because I that was my like subjectivity like as a girl online, and now you I'm older, but I think I'm interested because I feel like they at once are like really, really dismissed and respected at the same time. Like there's this weird thing happening where like we love women but we hate them, and like we, you know, selfie, like, you know, a selfie of a girl like gets so much engagement, but also we hate her for it. Like And I'm really interested in that tension, I guess. Like, I don't like, and I think that's been happening forever. And I think girls are just really good at using the internet. And so, and I think they're really good. And maybe like, and it doesn't just mean like posting themselves necessarily, but like, I think it's very, I mean, I even think about just like the way that women are like, have friendships with each other. Like, you know, it's like you build these like bonds, like these emotional bonds and these things. And so I think it just like it's a space that comes very like naturally, but I think it has its downsides. It's funny because the piece I'm working on now is actually weirdly about masculinity, which I was like
Interesting.
unintentionally like stumbled into. But
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's like one to do with just like who I am and like I experienced this on the internet and like I understand this, but also just like I'm interested in that tension of like dictating culture in certain ways, but also like being sort of not dismissed. Like, I think like even if you're like, I make work about like girls online, people are like, well, that's fucking stupid. Like, even the way
Yeah,
that like,
yeah.
and I've seen this change. We become really interested in it, and we change the packaging every time. But like, even within the recent sort of like girlhood resurgence that happened like maybe 2 years ago, where everyone was writing a think piece, everything like that was happening. Like, I saw that with like selfie feminism. You know, I was in the fucking selfie feminism trenches back in 2015, for better, for
Yeah.
you know, like not. That's also like an essay I need to write, and so, what, you know, I've seen it happen where like everyone's really interested in it, and then they're like, actually fucking hate this, and I hate that we're talking about this. And I get it because it like reaches maximum sort of exposure, and so we all turn against it. And so even me talking about making art about girls online right now, I'm like, that fucking is cringe. We hate
Yeah.
that right now. Like, we're not into that
Yeah.
now. But in 2022, it would have been like, you need to call me up so that you can get my take on this. That's how I
Yeah.
think about it. And it's so
Yeah.
interesting that that happens.
No, for sure. And I feel like I really resonate with just like we love her, but we hate her at the same time in terms of like posting a selfie or something. And like it's interesting. I think like a lot of it is just like the internet like being a mirror and like you mirroring what you want to see. 'Cause I think it was like Gabby like Saiswoon who wrote something like really interesting about it of like what you are frequenting on the internet. It's like she was talking about jealousy and like how that works. And I think it's like just a really interesting thing because I think it's what we're doing in person and what we would have done without the internet, but it's then just being magnified.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's something what we don't think about. Like, I feel like we just like, I'm like, the internet is like a tool that we use, and it's gonna reflect like humanity. And
Yeah.
like, I think for me, as someone that often will exist in like tech art spaces, my work is like actually so low tech, and I'm like, I'm actually like, if the internet didn't exist, I would just be interested in like what people are doing. Like, I'm interested
Yeah.
in like pe how people relate, socialize, and like perform for each other. Like, I'm not that, and I'm interested in like this is like a venue for that. But like, if not this, it would be something else. And I think
Yeah.
we kind of forget that like this is all life now. Like, not there's not distinctions. This isn't like a utopia that was like designed that maybe people thought in like 1998, but could be, but like, you know,
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
no.
Yeah,
Yeah, no.
no. I was gonna just say that, yeah, like I've the root of everything on the internet and like the root that has been everything on the internet, even like going back to Stan Twitter, is just being fascinated by people and by that psychology. And so yeah, that is like an interesting thing of like, oh, it is just a tool. And even if it didn't exist, like obviously so much wouldn't exist, but it would all still exist just in a very different manner.
That's
Yeah.
always like the way I go about analyzing stuff on the internet, I feel like, is through that lens of like, oh, this is people interacting with each other. Also did want to ask because I know you've taught a lot of internet focused lectures and courses, and I'm curious what you feel like young people have to gain from like those teachings and like if you can talk a little bit about like the coursework that you put together.
Yeah, that's a nice question. I actually am teaching tonight at
Ah.
year and a half, but most of mine are art class. Like I would say they're more art focused. So generally speaking, the class that I'm teaching right now is
Display.
sort of like a photography class, but it's definitely about screen images. So like thinking about the images that we look at every day, screenshots, memes, compression, editing, that stuff. But I'm thinking about, so normally what I do is I just teach like a lot of artists that work in those spaces. So I just, re it's like really like a survey class where I just teach like a bunch of, I just show them as much art as possible. And then I ask them to make work about it. And then I teach another class that's about like online performance, which is a similar format. It's like we're gonna look at a bunch of art of artists like working within these spaces. You make work that sort of reflects that in some way. So generally speaking, like those are my, and then we do readings, things like that. But yeah, it's more like of an in an art context, I would say.
I'm curious what you notice like in kids too who are attending those sort of classes. Like, I'm always just curious, I think, with people who are teachers, like what they notice in like kids changing and like their usage of the internet also changing.
Yes.
Are they like college kids? Is that like the
Yeah.
okay?
So the class that I'm teaching tonight, that's like the more the photography class, is it's like adults and some college students, and then my other classes for grad students, but their grad students are pretty young, can be pretty young too. I'm thinking about it because once you graduate, I guess you can just go to grad school. So like I would say they're usually in their mid to late 20s. Maybe every once in a while someone will be in their 30s. And so I will say that I've noticed, and it really depends on also like the school and the department. Like you're gonna get different groups of people depending on like where you're teaching versus what the class is, in my opinion. So like, or even when I lecture at different schools, like to give an artist talk, like the vibes are very different depending on like where in the country it is, what type of school it is. Is it a private school? Is it a public school? Like there's so many different things. I feel like any teacher would say this now, but the use of AI is like way more rampant than it was. Like it's so like in the past year is like past fall when I was teaching, I was like, oh, students are using AI and like their art projects, which like I don't have anything against, I don't really care, but like I was like, oh, this is the first time I'm like seeing AI come up for multiple people. And then I think the other thing is just like students know so much about specific internet stuff that I don't know about. Like they all know about different stuff. Like they don't, like they're so, I feel like on the internet that I grew up on, yes, there were like a lot of niche communities happening, but like if something went viral, kind of like everyone knew what it was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like decentralized now.
Like someone in one of my classes on the first day brought up like Elsa edits. Do you know about this?
Like Elsa from Frozen?
Yeah.
What is there about it though? Is it just edits of Elsa?
They like make her like different styles almost. There's like goth Elsa, you know, there's like different like types of Elsa.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard
Interesting.
vaguely about this, but I never was like, I was like, I this is fucking stupid. I'm not looking into this.
And so, you know, like this, things like that will get brought up, or like even thinking about how like certain things get repurposed, like how Family Guy is like sort of culturally relevant in sort of like a meme way, where for a really long time it was like we were like, no, like Family Guy is like we don't talk about Family Guy. Like we all watch that. And so it's interesting how things like kind of circle in and out. But so I will say that with students now, there's just like there's a, I mean, it's just more natural understanding. So a lot of my students also like are way better code. Like I don't code. I have a lot of students that I teach in a lot of situations where students are coding or like, you know, a lot, they have a lot of technical skills that like I don't have, or are using different tools than like what I was taught to use. Like this stuff changes all the time. Like, you know, I could figure out CapCut, but it's going to take me a little bit longer than like if I'm or something, but it's just like so that stuff like changes, but that's like the big, those are like the big differences.
Just in general on your work, like circling kind of back to like just like your art in general. You've said online before that some of the questions that you're seeking to answer with your work are, what are the ways in which we perform for the imagined other? How do these volatile relationships shape our memories and relationships? And I'm curious if through like teaching or through your work or research and art, like if you found an answer or a thesis statement to these questions.
So,
Yeah.
being an artist is like you're just asking the same question over and over again, and you're just like phrasing it slightly differently, and you're like trying to figure it out, but it's like that's like your life's work, right? And I think it also like, yeah, this stuff is always sort of like shifting.
Do you feel like you have like an answer right now specifically? Like, 'cause I feel like there's, at least to me, I feel like I find different answers throughout like working on something. Like for me, it's writing. But yeah.
Wait, say more about writing.
Like for me, like within like writing, I feel like I just find like I'll like feel like I get an answer to my question. Like whatever the questions I am seeking an answer through writing, like I'll find an answer and then it'll change. So I'm curious if you have an answer right now.
I'm just interested specifically in the performance of like relatability and how it's honed and how it's shifted and like what makes someone appealing to look at. Besides visual, like what gives someone the sauce, right?
No, that makes sense.
Maybe I'm like gonna regret saying this, but I'm like thinking about, and maybe this is like some weird trauma induced by like being Tumblr famous at one point, but like, what gives someone like Emma Chamberlain the sauce and then what takes it away? Like, what are these tiny things that are happening? That aren't just time based, because obviously everything that was cool becomes uncool. Like, I understand that. But also, like, how do people come through in the screen and like become sympathetic versus other people that are not? Like, how do these things happen? And you watch a video of someone vlogging or like sharing their life, and you look at it and you go, that's so fucking easy. I could do that. I could fucking do that. And then when you do it, you're like, actually, it's really, really hard. And so for me, I guess I'm interested in like what makes that hard and why. Like, there's this video of Best Dressed, of Ashley Best
Oh my
Dressed,
God, we love her.
that I think she's since deleted, but someone has like re-uploaded, where she's like, come see like how I film content for a day or whatever. And there's a video of her in her car, and she's repeating the
I
same
know the video you're talking
line
about. Yeah.
over and over again. You can see her getting visibly frustrated, and she's saying it with different inflections and different things. And I guess I'm just so interested in like the artifice, or like the pulling back of like what it takes to appear natural for other. Like, I'm just like, so I don't know if there's like an answer to that, because I think that always changes. I think for me, it's more like I'm just like so obsessed with like what that means, or like what that could be, and also just like how that does that like plays into like desire and wanting, and like wanting to be accepted, wanting to be beautiful, like sort of like us at our like most vulnerable, and like kind of, but like hiding it. Like, I don't know, like there's all this stuff is really like bound up for me.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like, looking at someone like Emma Chamberlain, it's like so fascinating because she that like concept of relatability and like building a platform off of being relatable, but then getting to a point where you're not relatable anymore. But then it's like, it is also just like obviously like everything cool becomes uncool and everyone like turns on everyone. But I think like that concept of like relatability and also just like oversharing online and like vulnerability. And I know that you were like talking about how you feel like your work isn't vulnerable, like what you have now. But I think like that like concept of like oversharing, like thinking of someone like Ivy Woke and like her, like everything she does is so fascinating to me. And like, that's all.
And I really like understand it like deeply. Like, when I see posts like that, like I feel really, I'm like, I can't, I used to post like, I like understand what it is like to post like that, and I like, And it's all, I love it, you know? And I sometimes like, I wish I could get to a place of that again in a way.
Yeah, that's so weird because I was actually thinking about that specifically with Ivy's stories recently, where I was just like, wow, she thinks a lot of things right now. And like, she's like sharing it very naturally in a way where you like feel it. Like, you feel like the like comedy in it, I guess. And I feel like I feel that from anyone like with like a simple like create mode too, of like, oh, this like has a tone to it. And it's like you like if the tone translates, it feels like it does its job. Very true.
And it's like what makes it so that the tone translates, I feel like.
I to me, like in my head, when Molly, when you were saying this, like about what makes that, like what makes something natural, I'm like, oh, like literally just like doing it for the first time, or like somehow putting yourself in a situation where you feel like you can be natural while also then knowing that you're being watched.
No, that makes sense. I
I mean, even it goes as deep as like turning the camera on, you know, like you immediately change. I walk past the mirror and I make my fucking selfie face. Like, I don't know what my face looks like. Like, that's the other thing is like, we all don't know what we look like. We don't know how we come off, but we feel like we have the illusion that we know how we come off. So that's another thing that I'm really interested in. It's just like,
No, I think about that a lot because I feel like I like, from especially doing this podcast, it's like I'm right here. Like, I'm in here. I'm looking like, and I've never done something like that where, like, I used to like vlog when I was younger and like try to do YouTube and whatever. But like, I feel like I was never sitting in a place where I can watch myself talk for like 2 hours. And that I think has really fucked with my brain and like made me crazy because it's like, wait. Like, am I still talking if I'm not seeing myself? You know what I mean? Like, it's really weird.
Similar thing of like walking past a mirror and making like this, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, thank you so much for coming
Having
on though. This was
me.
really fun, and
All of
it's
your takes about the internet are so interesting. I feel like you are very good at articulating it all when it's a very hard thing to like not say something and then like need to also then explain the opposite, if that makes
Oh
sense.
yeah, that's something that we're all poisoned with too, that I will not suffer from again. Say what you think, and if you're wrong, you can just change your mind later. It's fine.
No, but
No, I
you are
agree.
doing you're doing great,
Thank
amazing,
you.
cool internet things, and it was awesome to hear like what you think about stuff. Let's do one more
Last
thing.
thing.
At the end, we have every
Oh,
guest
okay.
repeat something. We have everyone request this guy, this internet guy who we really want on the
Yeah.
What's his deal?
podcast. His
He.
name's Josh Ovaye. You might know him.
I don't know who Josh Ovaya is. I knew that you were going to
Neither.
ask me this because I've done my research, but.
Wait, Brittany, can you? My paste isn't
Yes, I got
working.
it.
I think that my computer like stopped letting me paste it in here because it just wants us to be done with it.
What is he like a YouTuber or.
I feel like you would have liked him and like found him really interesting because he like was doing Instagram satire before a lot of people were doing Instagram satire in this way of like he was like a mainstream, I feel like, YouTube person who existed in those spaces but then started doing like satire stuff that like he would get people like he would get groups of people in on a joke online. And it was just very impactful to both of us.
Did he disappear from the internet? he's
like on it. I see him like things sometimes.
Oh, so he didn't totally disappear.
But he doesn't
Yeah, he's
post
still,
anymore.
his like friends are all very online and like post stuff, but he like doesn't post anymore.
Do you have a connection? Like, can is that have you reached out?
So he
We've
doesn't have
had
an
like,
email, but we've had a lot of people on who are friends with him. We just need a direct thing to happen, and then, you know.
If we see him in the street.
Like that sort of thing.
Just kidnap him, bring him
Or for you
in.
to just read this and then it'll probably help.
Okay, I will read it.
Thanks.
Should I read it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I, Molly Soda, Hereby request Josh Ovalle for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. I think that'll help.
I think
That'll help.